Story of a Christian man that was stranded on a deserted island for many years. He was finally discovered by a ship that went by, and they were impressed over the years all the things he was able to build. But in particular, there were three prominent buildings. And so they asked him about the buildings, and they said, "This first building, what did you do that?" He goes, "That's where I lived." And he said, and they said, "What did you do in the second building?" "Well, that's the church I go to." And so in amazement, they asked about the third building. And at this point, the person who is stranded became kind of gruff. And he said, "Well, that's where I used to go to church." It can be so easy to get caught up in the same traps over and over in our lives. Even though we've seen the negative outcome, we're hoping the end result is going to be somehow different this time. It can be if we're willing to make the needed changes in our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, you know all about the things that are going on in our lives. Why do we continually find ourselves a part of and participating in the things that we really want nothing to do with? Give us the clarity to recognize the sins that we continue to repeat in our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For some who are new, 1 month I'm in the New Testament. I'm in the 1 Peter in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, I'm preaching in the book of Daniel. And so that's what we're going to pick up again today. My text today is going to be Daniel 5, verse 1 to 31. Ernie's going to put it up on the screen, and you'll be able to follow it as I go through the text. In the first 4 chapters of Daniel, it becomes obviously clear that Babylon is the most powerful nation on earth. The king of Babylon, which happens to be Nebuchadnezzar, is the most powerful individual on earth. But what is ironic is that foreigners from Judah, who were exiles, God uses to speak to the king and explain his ways. Through the experiences of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown in the fiery furnace, but walking out with not even smelling like smoke. And then Daniel spending a night with hungry lions, where God closed these fierce animals' mouths. It would seem as though King Nebuchadnezzar holds the power of life and death over anyone and everything in his hands, yet it's become apparent that God is the one who's in control. In Daniel chapter 4, another alerting experience, as King Nebuchadnezzar spends 7 years living like an animal out in the forest until he's willing to recognize the one true God. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs the water course wherever he pleases. If you could think of the most powerful or influential person in your life right now, or in the world right now, who would that be? They may think they're running the world, but God has other ideas about that. Daniel chapter 5. It starts out by revealing that Nebuchadnezzar is no longer the king, but a man named Belshazzar, his son, is running the kingdom. It doesn't take long to discover the kind of character this new king is made of. Verse 1, he's throwing a party for thousands of his nobles and lords. Now that's quite a party to throw for thousands of people. My first thought is, who's paying for this? Verse 2, and while under the influence of wine. This usually is not a great way to start a sentence. Under the influence of wine. The king commands that they bring out the gold and silver cups that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem so everyone in the party could drink from them. These articles have previously been used to worship the one true God, but those celebrating at the party not only defile the articles from the temple, but in verse 4, they give praises to the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. To use these cups, which were set aside for holy acts, and then to honor gods of wood and stone would be to defy the living God. You can sense it in the air. there's going to be a showdown. Anyone or anything that exalts itself or places itself above the one true God of the universe better have the power and the capabilities to defend itself. Verse 5. It says, immediately, or in response of defying the holy things and a holy God, fingers of a human hand began writing on the wall in the royal palace, with the king watching the whole thing. Verse 6, King Belshazzar's face turned pale out of terror. His limbs gave way. His knees knocked together. The imagery here is that the king is so shaken that he could not control his bodily functions. Basically, he almost peed his pants. Have you ever been in a situation where you realize that you might have pushed things a little too far? That is how the king is feeling, as this hand has a direct connection to the desecration of the cups in the temple. Just like when former king Nebuchadnezzar was in trouble. Where's the first place Belshazzar turns for help? Verse 7. He cries out for a security blanket. The enchanters, the Chaldeans, the diviners, the wise men. When we need help, where or what is our security blanket? Is it in food? Diving into the next relationship? Isolation? Do we go out buying things? None of these things will change our situation. Only God can. Can we see the cycle or pattern in our own lives when we find ourselves up the river without a paddle? You won't be surprised to hear the wise men of Babylon were no more help to Belshazzar as they were to Nebuchadnezzar in earlier chapters. It's like, why are they paying these guys anyway? Whenever they come to the plate to make a difference, they strike out. Verse 10, when the queen mother is made aware of the discussion and the crisis, she attempts to calm the king. She says in verse 11, don't be scared, for there's a man in your kingdom who is the spirit of the holy gods, who Nebuchadnezzar promoted because of his ability. Any guesses who the queen's talking about? It's our friend Daniel, who is the spokesperson of God. Do we finally run to God and those who represent him as a last resort? Only the one who serves the true God, Daniel, can answer the king's dilemma. Daniel gets called in and he's given a review of everything that's happened thus far. And then the king says something not that surprising to anyone who knows the history. Verse 15, the wise men weren't able to interpret the dream. Tell Daniel something he doesn't know. It's interesting that when the king talks to Daniel in verse 13, he says, you were one of the exiles brought here by Nebuchadnezzar from Judah, right? Here the king is in a desperate situation. You cannot imagine an arm and hand showing up on a wall and starting writing something. But he begins reminiscing on how Daniel got to Babylon. Daniel would have been about 80 years old by now. He came as a young man to Babylon and had served in the previous king's courts most of his life. It is possible Belshazzar wants to remind Daniel of his place as a lowly exile. It's possible his lack of respect for Daniel came because of his service to the former king. Out with the old, in with the new, until that doesn't work. Verse 16, the king offers Daniel, or anyone who can interpret the writing on the wall, rewards. They'd be dressed in purple. A gold chain would be put around their neck, and the person would become third from the top in the kingdom. Unlike how Daniel responded to King Nebuchadnezzar, he basically says to his son, Belshazzar, keep your stuff. You can stuff it. Give it to somebody else. When the prophet dealt with the former king, there was still a softness within Nebuchadnezzar, or at least he was willing to acknowledge his wrongdoing. He never desecrated the articles from the temple of Jerusalem. Starting in verse 18, and for the next six verses, Daniel reveals the unending cycle that Belshazzar should have learned from. It was God who allowed Nebuchadnezzar to become great over all the nations of the world, so all other peoples and nations feared him. It was God who placed the king of Babylon in this position. Verse 20, Daniel states that when Nebuchadnezzar acted in arrogance and in pride, and his kingdom was stripped from him, and he was driven away from human society and ate grass like a cow until he learned the Most High God has sovereignty over everything, over kingdoms and mortals. Verse 22, and King Belshazzar, you knew all this, but you failed to humble your heart. He not only exalted himself above the Lord of heaven and earth, but used the holy articles from the temple and then exalted gods of wood and stone. Even though he knew what happened to the previous king, his father, he pushed the limits with God beyond the point of return. Verse 23, but the God whose power is your very breath, you've not honored. Verse 25, Daniel goes on to interpret the phrase, Menai, Menai, Tekel, Parazin, which translated means, God has brought the days of your kingdom to an end. You've been found wanting, and the kingdom will be divided by the Medes and the Persians. Verse 29, Daniel's then rewarded for his interpretation. And then in verse 30, Belshazzar was killed in the night with Darius the Mede taking over the kingdom. On September 21st, 1938, there was a monstrous hurricane that hit the east coast of the United States. The waves hit Long Island, New York, were 40 feet high, and the spray from the water was going 100 miles an hour. The meteorologists had not warned anyone because they could not believe their instruments could be so far off. If their instruments were accurate, and they were, the result would be a devastating loss of life. Among the striking stories was the experience of a Long Islander who had bought a barometer a few days earlier in a New York store. It arrived in the Morning Post, September 21st, and to his annoyance, the needle pointed below 29, where the dial read hurricane and tornadoes. He shook it, he banged it against the wall, but the needle wouldn't budge. Indignant, he packed it up, drove to the post office, and mailed it back. While he was gone, his house blew away. Are we just ignoring the warning signs in our lives? Are we willing to acknowledge them with our actions? We are not unlike Belshazzar when we position ourselves in life where everything becomes all about us and whether we're getting what we want when we want it. We can continually be running into disappointment and crisis in our lives, not sure how we got there, but wanting desperately to relieve the pain. There's only one who can meet our heart's cry to mend our souls, and it'll be only found in Jesus. It's only in Christ that we'll find the love for our loneliness, the healing for our hurts, the forgiveness for our wrongdoing, and the fulfillment that we long for in this life. So no matter what situation we find ourselves in today, we can bring it all to God. He knows you by name. He knows all the things going on in your heart and mind, and he loves you. Secondly, we can also identify the harmful cycles in our lives. Are we building healthy practices and relationships in our lives? When we're with particular people, are we left feeling closer to God or further away from Jesus after we part? Do we trust God with our finances and our relationships? Or do we just look him up after everything crashes? Can we learn from previous mistakes of others, especially within our own families of origin, or even our own destructive patterns? Try asking a couple friends of yours who'll be honest with you if they can see repeated cycles in your life. It's a scary thing to ask, but it's great to be able to have friends that we can't ask such a thing to. Sometimes we're not aware of the harmful repetitions in our lives. Sometimes we don't know how to break the cycle. Other times, we don't want to deal with it. We can learn from Belshazzar's mistake by humbling ourselves and acknowledging God. Otherwise, we'll continue to push the boundaries that will eventually lead us away from Jesus, where it can be difficult to return from. We need to be intentional about where we want to end up in life, or we'll remain stuck on a merry-go-round and unable to get off. Let's pray. God, we want to be open and honest with what is going on inside of our lives. It's easy for us to go on in our lives like you don't exist until we're in trouble again. Begin showing us patterns in our lives that need to be broken. And bring wise people around us to help us work through it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus, be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
This morning we're going to celebrate the Lord's table together. I'm just going to give you instructions in case you haven't been with us. Basically, how we do the communion is at some point I'm going to invite you up, and there are stations here with the juice, the bread. If you need gluten-free bread, it's there as well. There's also a station on the other side over there. And then you'll sit down, and then we'll partake each of them together. The doors at the back of the church will have garbage cans that you can put the plastic cups in after when you're leaving at the end of the service. This morning, we focus on the hope that we have in Christ and his return. In Revelation, it says there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and that we're going to be part of it, and that God's going to come with a new heaven and a new earth, and he's finally going to make all things right. We can see so many things in our own lives or around in our towns or our cities or our country or our world that's wrong. All the brokenness and all the pain. And he's going to come one day and make it all right. And we say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to come to the different stations and get the juice and the bread. And then you'll sit down. And then we'll partake of them together. Are you going to hold it for? Do you want two? I don't know how you're going to do all this. Let me hold the cups and you push her. That's okay. The Lord Jesus on the night of betrayal took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Let's partake of the bread together." Thank you, Jesus, that you are the bread of life, that you give us breath every day, and that you love us and are for us and care about the things that we care about. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, he takes the cup and says, "This is the blood of new covenant. Whoever drinks it does in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, let's drink." Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood that's given us a whole new purpose of life and hope and dreams of the future, both now and in the present and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We do communion once a month, the first Sunday of every month. We also take a benevolent offering for those in need, and so ushers will do that now. I have a couple announcements, benediction. We'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. Just a couple things. If you're looking to go to home group, the groups are mentioned on the webpage, and so the locations and everything else, if you're interested in that. Another thing today, if you want prayer for anything, some will be at the back corner that'll pray with you. I think I mentioned this before. I was in my early 20s, and within basically a year or year and a half, I had three car accidents. Two of them were rollovers. And one of my good friends said to me, do you think you should take a driving course or something? That was a little painful, but something had to change. I couldn't keep, I need to keep the car on the road. Sometimes things need to change in our lives. And God is the one that can help us make the changes that we need to have happen. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that he's for us, he loves us, and he cares for us. Amen.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon that cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. And by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. And by your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King resurrecting me.
You are dismissed.